I'm Dr. Ray Rooney. The mission of American Family Association is to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church here and abroad in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Wednesday, September the 3rd, 2025. And we appreciate your listenership. Joining me in studio is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Wesley Wildman.
And morning.
Good morning, Brother Wesley. Brother Fred.
Hey.
It's just a brotherly day right here.
How you doing,
Fred? Fred Jackson.
Good to be here.
Yeah, you going to Canada this summer? Or?
No, not this summer. Summer's gone,
I guess.
Yeah, pretty well.
But when are you going home to see the folks?
See the family back home? Probably next spring.
Okay.
I wait for lobster season.
Okay. That's perfect.
there is a thing called lobster season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're only allowed to.
Well, yeah, really. The lobster trees are in bloom, usually in the spring.
Ed, for a man from Boston, you don't know too much about the lobster industry, do you? So, anyways, you still getting the lobster shipped to your house there?
What? We had it this past weekend.
I got to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I keep forgetting.
How often do you do that?
This is twice this year that we've done it. And I tell you, it's really, they're very fresh.
Yeah.
They ship overnight. They leave the Northeast at 5 o'clock at night, and you've got it the next afternoon at your house here.
Do the lobsters know that they're doomed?
These are uncooked.
Oh no!
They're live.
This is cooked meat.
Okay.
They've already the lobster the dust.
Meat. Yes.
Okay.
No.
He didn't have to break the news. Someone else had to.
Right.
Yes.
The little friendly lobsters don't arrive thinking they're going to be somebody's pet.
That's right. Yeah.
They're already gone. He was telling us about this, or was it? It was you. I think
yeah,
Fred.
Yeah,
Dell.
Fred.
And I told my wife, because I was all excited, because I haven't had lobster since I've been up north. And we thought that it was live lobsters.
Oh, no.
And she said, well, enjoy it, because I'm not cooking it. She cannot stand
seeing how the sausage is made.
Yes, animal suffering. So,
well,
my mom used to. Lobsters were very cheap when I was growing up. You could get them fairly mm-hmm. cheap, and every once in a while they'd spring and they'd take those kind of greenback lobsters and put them in the boiling pot.
Yeah.
And, that one time one grabbed the sides of the pot and said, "Don't do it." Shook me up.
Yeah. Well, if you go in Red Lobster, you can see them in the fish
aquarium.
Boat, in the aquarium. Yeah.
Pick them out.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just walking around thinking everything's fine.
No, lobster. Not that one.
Hey.
No, not that one.
Him, this one.
Anyway, that's pretty cool that you can have fresh lobster shipped to you from New England to Mississippi overnight and have it ready to go.
It is, and it's 2 pounds of lobster meat. I mean, you're not getting any shell at all.
Right.
It's 2 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Lobster.
Okay. I'm going to do that myself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What does that run you like? $100? $200?
About 130 or so.
Including shipping?
Yes.
And then what about handling?
Handling. Yeah. And then when it's all done, Fred's going to be growing lobsters in his backyard.
Oh, you can grow lobsters.
I was just kidding about that, Wesley. I appear to have misinformed you.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We thank you for listening, Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. And we're fixing to bring the news.
We're bringing it.
We're bringing it. And Fred, what's the first story?
Well, yesterday, President Trump had a big news conference announcing that Huntsville, Alabama was going to become the home of Space Command And but in the midst, you know, as he does, he takes questions from the reporters that are gathered. And in the midst of all that, he made an announcement. He said, just before coming out here, I got news, and you guys are going to learn about it. He told the reporters that the United States military had just taken out a boat. He called it a boat coming out of Venezuela with drugs. And our military took that boat out, killed 11 bad guys. They call them narco-terrorists. So the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, was asked all about this morning. This is what he had to say. Cut five.
In that boat, we knew exactly what they were doing, and we knew exactly who they represented. And that was Tren de Aragua, a narco-terrorist organization designated by the United States trying to poison our country with illicit drugs. Last year, under the Biden administration, all 4 years, 100,000 Americans died from drug-related, from drugs, from the use of drugs, many of which poured in from Central and South America through our southwest border. Now, we're sealing the border, but President Trump is willing to go on offense in ways that others have not been, and to send that clear signal to Tren de Aragua, Cartel del Sol, and others emanating from Venezuela. We're not going to allow this kind of activity. You're poisoning our people. We've got incredible assets, and they are gathering in the region. And so you want to try to traffic drugs? It's a new day. It's a different day. And so those 11 drug traffickers are no longer with us.
Yeah, and so we had the announcement back about 10 days ago that our military were going to station at least three of our destroyers off the coast of Venezuela. Since the president made this announcement yesterday afternoon, they've released a video. The Pentagon has released a video of this boat being taken out. It looks like perhaps a drone was used, a dead hit on this boat. We saw it wasn't a big boat. There were 11 people in it speeding along, we assume, towards the United States.
Where was it?
Off the coast of Venezuela, international waters. So quite dramatic, but, you know, there are some people saying maybe it wasn't a great idea because there might be some concerns that you're opening the door for other countries to do the same.
It's the next phase in border control.
Boy, is it ever.
Phase five.
Okay, I'm going to take...
I'm with you, Ed.
I'm going to take an unpopular
view. Yeah, I'm with you, brother.
Here.
Let's hold hands, okay? We're in this together. Okay. Because we're about to get land blasted by our listeners.
Let's metaphorically hold hands. Okay. We are on camera.
That's kind of feminine.
And watch me remain quiet.
Yeah, I don't want to... I meant join hearts, Ed.
All right, and we're going to probably split the audience, and we're already split on this panel. We talked about this in the story meeting.
I'm not saying
I don't like this. Okay, I have concerns about this, and here they are. First of all, I want to trust our intelligence agencies and think they can't make mistakes, but we thought that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and we were in Iraq for 20 years over a war. Sometimes intelligence agents are wrong. If we absolutely know for sure these are narco-terrorists, I'm a little more open to the idea.
What's a narco-terrorist, if you can define that for us?
Well, since the Trump administration declared that these drug cartels are terrorist organizations, then their efforts to bring drugs into this country is a form of terrorist threat to our people. I think that's why they call it narco-terrorists. I'm a little more open to it, but here's the thing. This is an execution. We executed people without a trial, and I hope we don't make any mistakes. I think the better route would be if we were sure these are narco-terrorists, then where's the Coast Guard? Why don't we interdict the boat and intercept the boat and arrest the people and put them in prison? And then I also have concerns because Venezuela is a, you know, Maduro, he's a communist. he may decide to open fire on U.S. ships and claim that he's just doing what Trump is doing. I wouldn't say this is a lawless act, but law was not involved. This is a military attack on citizens of another country, and I just have grave concerns. And I know, you know, open it up. I'm sure some of the people who are listening are saying, Ed's in favor of protecting drug dealers. No, I'm not a Democrat. Okay.
So, in a blue, you're not a Democrat in a blue city, right?
That's right. So, anyway, those are some of my concerns about this.
Wesley, do you want to share your heart?
So based on the information that we have, I don't believe if the information they have is true, I don't believe they deserve a trial or to be arrested or to be put in prison for us to be able to spend dollars, taxpayer dollars, and
blow them out of the water.
That they made that choice when they became terrorists. When you become a narco terrorist, you give up that right of being able to. That's my position.
Live.
Yep, you do. Because when you enter into the lifestyle of narco terrorism, you give up your right. That's what I believe.
Okay. I hear you.
Now I'm not saying I'm also not saying there's not other alternatives, but I'm not sad or disappointed that we took out narco terrorism.
Yeah. Okay. I gotta go with Ed. Soft pinky. soft pinko.
By the way, remember again, these are internationals. These are not American citizens. So it's not like somebody in Detroit was moving drugs from Detroit to a bigger city, and we just shot them out.
Okay,
the sky.
Think about what we're doing here, and then we can move on. I don't know if there's any ultimate right and wrong here. I'm just saying to you, I don't like it. I don't like the way it looks. We're using the United States military to blow ships out of the water in international seas.
I bet they won't do it again for a while.
Who won't do what?
I bet you'll get less international narco-terrorism for the next 6 months to a year.
You may be right.
Yep, and that's how war works.
You could do the same thing in Detroit.
Yeah.
You could really put the clamps down on crime.
And send the National Guard, right?
Open fire. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Tim and Fred.
Do y'all care what I?
Oh, I do. I care what you think.
Because I don't interrupt others. So what? So I don't like to be interrupted if I don't interrupt others.
You're right.
I do unto others. So I'm just saying, before you say, give them heck, Trump. You need to be careful because you're using United States military assets in international waters to carry out a unilateral, president alone, I guess, with maybe Secretary Pete Hegseth. And you say fire. Well, that blows that ship up.
International.
I don't know. Am I going to get finished or not?
Where would you do it? No. If you're going to say that, if you're going to say international, where would you do it? Would you do it in Venezuela? Would you do it in the United States? International, when you're abroad, that's the best place to do it.
I'd tell you I'm soft on.
I'd like to hear what you have to say, Tim.
Why, you think I'm trapped?
No.
Right there?
No, I just...
You would think your family member would be with you.
Well, my son doesn't agree with me, so why should yours agree with you?
All right, listen, we'll move on here. Like I said, when I first heard about this, I was going, what? So I haven't processed this 100%. Probably like all of us here, you're going, well, I don't know about that. But I would prefer that if we're going to get these drug cartels, you get them with the Coast Guard. You intercept them coming into American seashore,
yep.
Sea line. I don't like jets flying around the Gulf blowing boats out of the water and killing them.
I don't think they were speeding though. I don't think they were breaking a law there.
Okay, let me ask you this: What if 2 days from now they come back and say, "We're sorry, we made a mistake. The ship was like a mile behind. We intended to hit this ship." And we apologize to the fishermen, to the families. there who died in
the, that's fun. That, like, we can do that game because that doesn't change my position that if it was the right boat, I'm still okay with it. I think if they get it wrong from an intelligence standpoint,
all right,
that's different. I think
Fred wants to weigh in here.
No,
Fred, go ahead.
I just have a question for you guys.
Okay.
What is the difference?
You mean you make
for
all
to the commie lovers.
What is the difference between what the U.S. military did yesterday with that boat and what we did a few weeks ago in Iran?
You mean blowing up the nuclear. There's essentially no difference.
I'll because beg to differ.
Well, no, I'm saying in terms of us not going through a legal channel, attacked another country, and
it was not attacking us.
I don't think there is any difference in terms of that. What I'm saying is you've got to count the cost. If you're going to do something like this, you have to count the potential cost. I'm not sure there is a potential cost with Iran, but what if Trendaragua, I forget how to pronounce it. What if they say, you attacked our people, you guys in America are the ones buying the drugs, so we're going to attack your citizens. You've declared war on us.
Where?
In the United States.
Well,
I'm just because
it wouldn't last long.
Well, maybe, but Americans would die because we unilaterally decided these people are guilty enough to die on the high seas.
That's a hypothetical. That
to me, that is a little bit different than taking out facilities, even though the intent was to take out facilities.
Well, we have been threatened by Iran.
Yes.
We've been threatened verbally over and over again by Iran. So this isn't something that was done without a
provocation.
It's a case by case. It's hard to find a perfect analogy.
I'm just saying, when China blows a Taiwanese boat out of the water this afternoon down around the Philippines, and they go, you know, they were carrying drugs that was coming into China. I don't think U.S. is not going to have any right to say no. You shouldn't be doing that.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, if you agree, you're agreeing with me on the U.S. shouldn't be doing that out in the middle of the ocean.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm agreeing that if China says, first of all, this is a hypothetical because I hold to my position on what happened in real life.
But hypotheticals are important in determining consequences to your actions. So.
Okay, so back to the China illustration. If China says that they have intelligence that says they believe that this boat is a narco-terrorist organization that's coming into China and they blow it up in international waters, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. All right.
And
all right.
By the way,
talking about the Wild Wild West out there on the high
seas.
No,
I'm talking about military protecting its citizens.
Okay,
that's what I'm talking about. Military.
My next story, Fred.
Okay, and I folks who are
we have irreconcilable differences.
I hope we have divided your households.
Yes. Military. What good is the military if it can't protect?
That's
us
right, Wes.
On national.
That's
security.
Right. Military should be fighting. Oh, never. I'm all right. We'll just
we need to go into Mexico.
I didn't say go into.
Well, for another non-controversial subject.
go out there in the Gulf of America then.
Yeah. As is often the case, when President Trump has an announcement about something, as he did yesterday about Space Command going to Huntsville, he wanders over and talks about other things. And yesterday...
No, Trump.
Yeah, he does that a lot. And that's what makes the news. And so yesterday in the midst, you know, he asked reporters, you guys got any questions? Well, of course they do.
Yeah, sure.
When are you going to send troops into Chicago? And the president had an answer for them. Cut number three.
I didn't say when we're going in. When you lose, look, I have an obligation. This isn't a political thing. I have an obligation. When we lose, when 20 people are killed over the last 2.5 weeks and 75 are shot with bullets, there's no place in the world, including you can go to Afghanistan, you can go to places that you would think of. They don't even come close to this. I would love to have him call. I would love the governor of Illinois. I'd be honored to take his call. All he has to do is say, sir, we need help. It's out of control. And everyone knows it is. He's not kidding anyone.
Now, at the first of that cut, he said, I'm not saying when we're going to do it. But he prefaced the whole response by saying, we are going in.
To Chicago?
Unequivocally, he said, we are going in. I'm not going to say when. Now, needless to say.
Going in with what?
Soldiers.
National Guard.
Yep.
No, you're kidding me.
No, sir.
He said, we're going in.
He said, we're going in, but as you said, I'm not going to say when.
Hmm. Now, he's not talking about, I'm with him on ice.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm totally against sending the National Guard. Wesley's probably with him. Are you with him, Wesley?
On
sending the National Guard in to protect our citizens.
Well, the good news is, if you think you're going to get me,
yeah,
I'm already on the record on today's issue saying that I think that. Well, it's not as much as what I think should happen. It's the Constitution doesn't allow for it.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. But now again, we said this was going to. You called this yesterday. You said this was going to happen. That he's going to troll them by saying that
he's trolling.
It's just as much trolling as anything, because here's what can happen. He could get asked to in 3 or 4 weeks from now. He could get asked to.
Yeah.
And then he can come back and say, I told you, I said we're going in.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but I don't think the governor of Illinois or the mayor of Chicago are going to ask him to do.
They may not any more than the Washington, D.C., mayor did, but eventually she came around.
But that was a federal city.
Yeah.
I don't think he can legally do it without being asked by the mayor or by the governor.
Short of some sort of national emergency.
That's going to be his. He's going to host
and that's
a rally.
That's what he's saying. He's saying this is an emergency. I don't think he can get away with that.
No, not what should be handled by the law, the citizens of Chicago themselves through their elected officials. You can't just have a president sending in federal troops to do police work. The city's not burning down, okay?
Right. You're not having to restore order on that scale.
Right. So, anyway, we'll see what happens here, but I think he's going to lose the vast majority of conservatives on this one. Trump is. If he says, I'm sending National Guardsmen from Tennessee up to patrol the streets of Chicago.
Without cooperating with the Chicago Police Department? You can't do that.
You can't do that.
And by the way, folks, please don't.
Don't email you?
No, don't email me. I love 98% of what Donald Trump is doing as president. I'm a huge fan of what he's been doing, but you cannot. It's illegal. The Posse Comitatus Act forbids federal troops from doing law enforcement duties unless it is in conjunction backing up the police department. And if the police department via the mayor says we don't want you, then it is illegal. The federal troops cannot occupy a city for law enforcement purposes.
Is that what Trump's talking about? That sounds like what he's talking about.
He says, yes, we're going in. Yeah. I'm not going to say when.
Is anybody on his team saying this is a bad idea?
Not publicly. They're not saying it.
Right.
Not
publicly. It may be like Wesley's saying, he may be trolling them a little bit to get the conversation, you know, or keep the conversation going, because Chicago, that, over this long weekend?
Over 50 shootings.
That's horrifying.
And in the last 12 hours, there have been 7 more shootings. Now, Pritzker, the governor, says we don't have a crime problem. What somebody suggested is that Trump should hold a news conference in Chicago.
That's what Tim suggested.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was my idea.
And maybe after we come back from the break, there's a bunch of Chicago residents now that's saying we have a huge crime problem. We need President Trump to do something.
It's clear that policies in Chicago and in the state of Illinois are not strong enough on crime. And this is why this is a serious problem. So I think, do you have some sound from Chicago residents?
I do.
When we come back after the break, we do have a guest.
We're
going to have, so we may have to push this later on in the program. But I'd like to hear from some of these Chicago residents. They know there's a crime problem. You can't have a long weekend without kids getting shot and people, innocent bystanders. This is a terrible thing, and this is the result of liberal policies
I think Trump will back off this because he's going to be told by his attorney general he can't do this.
Yes, he's not. I don't think he'll do it, but it's good. He's trolling.
I get a little tired of my president trolling. Okay, that's for late night TV host.
Well, by the way, you know what he said in his own in the own press conference? He said, "I wish somebody would take my phone away sometimes."
Is that what Trump
that's
said?
What he said.
All right, we'll be back momentarily.
Finally, some good news. Over 38,000 babies saved and more than 4,000 commitments to Christ through the ministry of Preborn this year alone. Here's Dan Steiner, president of Preborn.
But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Preborn's networks of clinics provide hope, love, free ultrasounds, and the gospel in action across America. This is Ed Vitagliano. Will you join Preborn and AFR as we rescue 70,000 babies' lives this year? For $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and help save a baby's life. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Ed, Fascist, and Fred are here with us today.
Oh, we got old Today's Issues.
Fascist
nothing
Wesley.
Going on.
Fred, Tim, and Ed, thanks for listening to American Family Radio. Well, there's a big movie coming out that I wanted to make you aware of. If you haven't heard already, it's called Light of the World, and it's going to be opening in theaters this weekend. And joining us to talk about it is T. Ray Grandstaff. He is a film producer of Light of the World, one of them, and he's been on with us before. T. Ray, good morning to you.
Good morning, my friend. How are you today?
Doing well. How's life in Northwest Arkansas today? You there?
Oh, life is going well. I find myself in Fort Smith, and, you know, things are going great. I mean, this is game time. You know, you got the pregame jitters. You're looking forward to what's coming up this weekend. And we're so excited and thankful for friends like AFR being advocates for faith and for family. And in this case, a great film.
Okay, the movie is called Light of the World. It's animated. It's an animated film. I saw it about a month ago or 6 weeks ago here in Tupelo. T-Ray brought the film down, and we watched it at a theater and was very impressed. It's T-Ray, tell our listeners about the movie, and then we want to talk about how people can support the film.
Yes, thank you. It is a throwback movie to, I think, the best of the animated days. Some of the filmmakers that we partnered with directed Mulan, Mary Poppins Returns, Space Jam, A New Legacy, and Beauty and the Beast and Lion King. So we're talking about some of the best 2D hand-drawn animators in the world are working on this film, and it's beautiful. It glorifies Jesus. It tells the story of Jesus through a very unique perspective, through the eyes of Jesus's youngest disciple, John. So it's a coming-of-age story, and so you get to see all of the favorite parts of the Bible. And what people have told me is that after and during the film, they get to experience a Holy Spirit reminder, because God reminds us all that Jesus taught. And through this film, it really supports the biblical storyline, plus it's fun. It shows the beauty the divinity, but also the humanity of Jesus. So we want to encourage people to support Light of the World coming out in theaters this weekend.
And what? How do people find out which theater closest to them it's going to be showing?
Yes, the best way to do that, you can even purchase tickets online at lightoftheworld.com. You know, this film will be opening in 2,000 theaters throughout the U.S., 95 theaters in Canada, and 36 other countries. Now, what's unique about it, Brother Tim, is that we made it from a nonprofit perspective. And so that's very unique. And the reason we did that is we didn't want private investors because we weren't going to have any creative compromise. We wanted every dollar earned to go directly back into ministry. And so after theatrical and then in streaming, we're going to pull these revenue sources to be able to translate the film into 140 languages over the next 5 years to give away to global ministries and local ministries worldwide to be able to further and use in the hands as a tool for them to be able to reach the audience God's called them to do. And so our hope and our desire and what we're striving for by God's grace is that 1 billion people will come into contact through this film and get to know Jesus a little bit better.
One billion, that would be, you're talking about over time, obviously, but that would be...
Over 5 years.
Okay, mm-hmm. That would be one-sixth of the world's population if that were to happen.
Well, and I'll just tell you, T-Ray, it's a great idea to have an animated film because you're going to get a lot of parents who take their kids to see it. It's obviously going to have an impact on children, but the adults with them,
both at the same
time,
it's kind of
a sneak attack. Yeah. The adults are going to hear the gospel and are going to learn about Jesus while they're taking their kids to see a kids movie, an animated film kind of thing. Even though I'm sure animation wise, it's you get a lot of adults who like to see that kind of stuff anyway.
And trickery is a good virtue on the part of Christians. Ed, I think you're onto something here.
Be wise as a serpent.
It's not trickery.
Right.
You're trying to appeal to as many people as you can.
Right.
And animation, parents think, okay, I'll take my kid to see an animated movie about Jesus, and you're right. Then they see the story themselves.
Their guard is dead.
And the sooner that you have an impact on a person's life, obviously, aka a child, the more likely you are for them to stay with Christianity as
Amen.
Well.
All right, I want folks. We're asking you to do something. Support this movie. It's called Light of the World. It's outstanding. I saw it, and it's an hour and what is it, an hour 20 minutes, something like that.
It's 83 minutes, yes.
Okay, well, you're being technical. I was just, I said an hour.
I had to pull that out.
I said hour 20, and you went. Anyway, so the movie is going to be out. Is that Friday night? Or is it Saturday? When does it start?
Yes, it's Friday night, and in some areas it begins tomorrow night.
Okay.
But in 2,000 theaters, it starts Friday night, runs throughout the weekend. And what's so important is, you know, after watching the first week of college football, you know, good teams can lose their first game, but still come back and win the national championship.
Right.
But what's important for our friends and those followers of Jesus to understand, you know, in this system, you've got one time to show up, and it's the opening weekend. And based on that opening weekend, we get to stay in theaters, you know, week two, three, and four. So our encouragement is to you know, while others want to curse the darkness of talking about negative things, we want to hold up the light of Jesus. And one way to do that is to send a message opening weekend. We believe in faith films that truly matter. We believe in Jesus. And so let's make a statement opening weekend, this weekend. And you can do that by going to lightoftheworld.com and order your tickets.
All right, T-Ray, well, we wish you the best for you. We pray for this movie to be seen, you know, by
who knows, millions this weekend, we hope and pray, and that it ministers to
Amen.
People and changes lives. I know that's your wish and desire, and all the team that put this film together. Again, folks, the easiest way to find out where the movie's going to be showing near you, and it's 25, how many places? 2,000?
2,000.
2,000 theaters.
2,000 theaters, and it's in Canada as well. So if you want to know where the movie's showing near you, it's near you. If there's 2,000 openings, it's going to be somewhere near you. Go to lightoftheworld.com. Lightoftheworld.com. All right, T-Ray, thanks so much for being on with us. We will certainly lift you up in our prayers.
Thank you, guys. Great to be with you.
Okay. Thank you. All right, that was T-Ray Grandstaff joining us from Fort Smith, Arkansas. And I did see them. You didn't get to see it when it was here, did you?
I did not.
Yeah, but I think your grandkids did.
They did.
Yeah.
I don't know what we were doing. I thought I was going to use, because I can't remember what we were doing.
You're probably out hunting narco terrorists.
Huh? I thought you. We were at a ball game for the kids. But
I don't know if y'all remember. We're picking up on this, but y'all are losing that one, so I wouldn't keep bringing no, it up. I would keep bringing it up.
I'm converting over to you. I just say bomb them.
Bomb them.
That's my attitude.
Leave me on an island.
It's hard for me to joke about that, because if you enter into terrorism, you forfeit your right to live.
If you're going back to this issue,
okay.
If you, yeah.
All right. So, by the way, you go to lightoftheworld.com and you type in your zip code. It's that simple. I mean,
it's playing page. Near us.
Yeah, and it's playing in Jupiter.com. Yep. And of course, it gives you some extra ones that are a little further out, like Oxford, Mississippi, Memphis,
that's
Tennessee, Germantown. Yeah, if you type in our zip code,
right.
So you can type in yours. So yeah, I mean, if it's in Tupelo, Mississippi. Right. It's going
to
be.
It's 2,000 cities all over America. I want to go back to this Space Command for just a minute, because that was a big story yesterday. It was one of the things President Trump talked about. Him moving the Space Command from Colorado Springs to Huntsville, Alabama.
That is correct.
The U.S. There's already a big NASA presence.
Very big.
In Huntsville, it's called Rocket City, mm-hmm. right?
That's correct.
So, did President Trump elaborate on that at all, or?
Well,
is there a reason for moving it?
Yeah, he said. Well, it was recommended. So, just some little bit of history during his first term in office. He talked about Space Command. He talked about having it in Huntsville, Alabama, because that was the recommendation from the U.S. Air Force. That Huntsville was the best place because they're so involved now in military research, et cetera, et cetera. Then Trump lost the election. Biden gets in, and Biden says, no, I think I'd rather put that in Colorado Springs. And Trump believes that was very political.
Of course, because the jobs go to a kind of blue or purple state.
Yes.
Rather than a red state.
Yes. So Trump indicated very early on in this second term that he planned to bring Space Command to Huntsville. He made the formal announcement yesterday. So it means 30,000 jobs there.
Wow.
They are well established in the technical field. They're doing things.
Aerospace.
Right.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You name you know, they're developing drones, all of this sort of thing. So it is a more natural home for what they want to do. And one of the things that was mentioned yesterday during this news conference, Pete Hegseth, our defense secretary, was there. He said the next war is going to be won in the air. Mm-hmm. That's where the shooting, the altercation between people and weapons is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes sense, because there's so much research in that field, in the aerospace field, going on in Huntsville already. Redstone is there. They have been going, and this has been going on for decades now, developing the lunar module.
I had a role in that one.
Developing the lunar module.
Yeah, I don't talk about it much.
Okay.
just on the air with millions of people.
Well, it's just a side gig I got going on. You know. But go ahead.
Anyway, it's a big deal for Huntsville. Huntsville is somebody told me it's the largest city in Alabama now.
It's the largest city proper in Alabama. Birmingham, still the greater Birmingham area, is larger, but Huntsville is the second largest city in Alabama. And a lot of, as I said, a lot of engineering, attachment to the space industry, the NASA and so forth. You know what Jeff Foxworthy says? You know,
do it in his voice.
There's two words that don't go together. Two words that don't go together: NASA and Alabama. That's what Jeff Foxworthy. I'm not dissing on Alabama.
Right,
he did it.
Jeff Foxworthy. In his uppity Georgia attitude. He's dissing on his Southern brothers.
Yeah.
You know, when he says that is a joke Jeff Foxworthy uses, though. Two words that don't go together: NASA and Alabama.
But that is right, what Fred's talking about. Drones, and especially in space. Modern militaries can't do anything without satellites. Mm-hmm. And the Chinese have done a lot of work with anti-satellite weaponry. So all that, when we talk about Space Force having satellite-based lasers that can knock out ICBMs once they're launched, all that kind of stuff, that is the future. And President Trump was right to develop Space Force. A lot of this goes back to the Reagan era in terms of vision. And we don't want to get – I don't know if we are – on par with the Chinese in terms of that. I think probably we have our U.S. military probably has a lot of technology that we don't know about. I hope so. But we've got to keep up and hopefully surpass the Chinese to possibly stave off a war with them.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. Next story, Fred.
Well, just for a moment, before the break, we were talking about what Trump had to say about sending military into Chicago. And, of course, the governor, Pritzker, has said we don't have a crime problem in Chicago that warrants this. Trump did say, he said, I wish Pritzker would get on the phone and invite me there, and I'd be there to help him. Chicago, there are residents in Chicago who say their governor and the mayor of Chicago are lying to the American people. Now, that's how they put it. And here's a bit of an example of a Chicago resident who says, there is no question, we have a huge crime problem in Chicago. Cut to.
The fact of seeing seniors getting killed, our children getting killed, mothers getting killed, young men getting killed, and we are not getting any help at all. It's starting to become normalized. We're dealing with a progressive, democratic gang. I call them, they are the real gangster disciples, the City of Chicago Democratic Machine. This machine has been like this for a very long time, and no one has ever challenged it except in 2023, when 22 million illegal immigrants came over from the previous administration and 70,000 were placed in the City of Chicago. They are trying to make the City of Chicago a socialist, communist city, and it simply cannot be that.
Wow. You know, that's we talk a lot on this program about the amount of crime in the inner cities of America. We also note the high prevalence percentage-wise of young black males that commit these crimes. But you know what? Listening to that lady, the black community is under siege. There's a lot of innocent black people in these big cities who are just victims. They're either victims or they're victims waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. And you hear this woman talk about adults, about elderly being victimized, mothers and children being shot by, you know, with drive-by shootings or criminal activity. They feel it more than anybody, and The Democratic Party better watch out. It would be a sea change, that's for sure. But they may allow so much crime to go on that they start losing the black vote, because these are people who want their kids to get educated. Why isn't the Democratic Party in favor of school choice? They want their kids to be family oriented. They want them to be safe. And if you can't, and they want them to have grocery stores, they want them to have drug stores that stay open in their neighborhoods and don't shut down because of all the theft. These, we're talking about the basic necessities of life. And if Democratic policies are seen as taking that away, you could start losing the black vote. That's a long shot, but stranger things have happened.
I think in general elections or even statewide elections, that may be true. And I think that's where you could actually see a pushback towards the Democrats. But in the inner cities, just based on what I'm seeing and what I've fought over the last couple of years, I think that is a hamster wheel that only repeats itself. I think all the decent people, a lot of the people that I say decent, meaning they understand what's going on, they don't live there, they work there. And so the reasons your numbers are so high of population is because you got people working there. I think a lot of the people that would otherwise switch their vote from Democrat to Republican in order to change the election of a inner city, they don't live there. And so I think the inner cities are, I don't know what would fix that, to be honest with you. That's my opinion. But I do think what you're saying has been applying to states. I think states, you have seen a couple states that go from blue to purple to red because of one of many reasons, which is the inner city crime.
Yeah. So.
All right. You know, talking about crime, would you believe that in our country right now, there is at least one college that has a course starting this fall? And this is the official name of the course, How to Steal.
I wouldn't believe that at all.
How to Steal. This is the Eugene Lang College of Liberal Arts Sociology Department. It's in New York. Tuition there is just a mere $60,000 a year. I am going to read you the official course description. This field-based seminar explores the politics, ethics, and aesthetics of theft in a world where accumulation is sacred, dispossession is routine, and the line between private property and public good is drawn in blood. Students will critically examine what it means to steal, from whom, for whom, and why. Through site visits and fieldwork in places where capital is hoarded and value is contested, corporate storefronts, grocery chains, museums, libraries, banks, and cultural institutions. We will ask, is it possible to steal back what was already stolen? What does theft look like under capitalism, colonialism, and in everyday life? When is theft survival, protest, or care? And when is it violence, appropriation, or harm? Readings will span critical theory, political economy, abolitionist thought, and radical histories of expropriation and redistribution. Students will produce field journals, collective mappings, and speculative strategies for redistributing wealth, knowledge, and beauty. This is not a course in petty crime. It is a study in moral ambiguity, radical ethics, and imaginative justice.
Moral ambiguity.
Imaginative justice? That sounds like a soap opera.
Yeah, it sounds like they're saying, hey, just imagine who you can steal from, and then go do it.
And feel good about it.
And feel good about it.
Tomorrow, next week, on Imaginative Justice.
That's straight Marxism.
Where's that happening?
This is Eugene Lang College of Liberal Arts Sociology. I invite you to Google this course, How to Steal. Fox did a feature on this morning. Apparently, this college is not the only one with wacky courses. But this is teaching students that if you feel you're being taken advantage of by that evil capitalism, then you have a moral right to go ahead and steal.
And it's a form of political protest. Listen, this is what they're teaching in a lot of these liberal arts schools or the liberal arts departments within schools, they are teaching this garbage. It is preparing kids to be Marxists and socialists who believe that if you overthrow the republic, we'll get true justice. And what they'll find out is you can vote your way into communism, but you got to fight your way out.
And is it any surprise that this college is in New York City, where a gentleman by the last name of Mamdani is going to win the mayoralty race there?
That's a good point.
And this is his platform.
Yeah.
This is his platform.
So, well, if some, and then I'll let Wesley jump in here. If we're going to do this experiment and make some city a laboratory, let's do New York City.
Mm.
Because it's going to be fun to watch if you're outside of it.
Yep. I had a question. So where are we on the Mamdani? Is that going to, when's the election?
The last poll that I saw, he is way out in front of the other three.
Yeah.
The current mayor is like down at single digit in the polls.
Is that Adams?
Adams.
So Mamdani, if the polls are true and accurate, he is going to win this in November. And I tell you what, the millionaires who live in New York have got to be a little bit nervous.
And the corporations.
Yes.
Listen, he wants government-run grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part of statism, whether it's fascism or communism, that people don't understand. Companies can't compete with government-subsidized grocery stores.
That's right.
All these grocery stores are going to, these
who's
companies
gonna
are going to leave.
Them, though?
Tax revenue. That's what they'll start off doing. But
until they run out.
Until they run out.
Oh.
What's his name? What's his whole name?
Zohan. Mamdani.
Mamdani.
How can a guy named Zohan get elected mayor?
Well, that's a superhero name. Let's be honest. That is.
Yeah.
All right. We will return with more of today's issues after this short timeout. We'll see you back here in a few minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.